gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some totes, because it's time for Fatal Four Way Radio with your host, Minister High Sinister, brought to you in part by WrestleCourt.com. And now,
Fatal Four Way Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the show. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and it's great of you to join us. We have a lot to talk about today, and first of all, though, I'd like to pay out respects to Jose Lothario, who passed away yesterday, or sometime here recently. I think it was yesterday it was announced. November 6th. And I have to tell you, man, I remember this guy from when I was growing up, and he had a killer feud with Gino Hernandez that ended up with and who was one of my favorites, actually. I've always been a bad guy, and Gino Hernandez and Tully Blanchard back in the day were one of the reasons why I was a bad guy, why I became a bad guy at such a young age. I idolized these guys. But Jose Lothario, he got the best of Gino Hernandez in a hair match. But I saw him a couple of times. One time here in Houston, he went against Black Gordman with and it was a that one went to a no finish. But yeah, he had a great feud with that Black Gordman too. Sometimes I wish there was footage of that stuff, you know, so I could go back and look. But, you know, and then I go back and I see the pictures, and it's all good. I've had enough. I can see it in pictures. But yeah, Jose Lothario. He was also known for being Shawn Michaels' manager. He made the big time, you know, he made it to the big time. Just a Texas guy. I think he was actually from Mexico, but he wrestled all through here in the Texas area. So it was nice to see him with Shawn Michaels reach the pinnacle of the career in the WWF in 1996 when Shawn Michaels won his first World Heavyweight Championship from WWF. Anyway, Jose Lothario, may he rest in peace. Let's get to the phone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up, everybody. I want a nice round of applause for Christian from Philly. Christian, how the hell are you doing today, my friend?
Good, my brother. Both our titles are on the line right now at an IWC Rising, where I get the chance to kill the legend of Double L Langley, and you get the chance to retain your championship, my brother.
That's right. That's right. I get the chance to retain my championship against T-Rock, who has been champion. I think I did take it from T-Rock. I don't remember. But anyway, he's going to get his chance. And I know he was champion for the longest time. He's head booker now. I was the original head booker. But then he took that from me. But, and also we're going to have Joe Bates is also going to be on the card, as well as Batman. And speaking of Joe Bates, ladies and gentlemen, a huge round of applause for Joe Bates. Joe, how are you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I can't complain. You know, everything's all right, you know, except everything's sucked in wrestling lately. But outside that, it's great.
You're telling me, man. Christian has a real big problem with wrestling lately. I have, you know, somewhat of a problem. I'll tell you what, though. They've got me watching this year. Last year, there was really no reason to watch. It was so bad. And I didn't have a show at the time last year, so there was really no need to watch. And I didn't watch last year, but this is another year, and I do have a show this time around. So, And even then, the shows are hard to make, man. It's hard. Like, what do we want to talk about this week? Holy crap. But I came up with some things.
Yeah. The only thing that I like in wrestling right now, literally, the only thing I like in wrestling is Becky Lynch.
Oh, man. She's tearing it up right now. She's tearing it up, that promo. And, in fact, that's, you know, that's a great segue, man. That's a great segue because we are going to talk about the women's titles and the tag team division that they're coming up with the women. If you've seen wrestling for the past few episodes, I didn't see it this week, though. But the week before and the week prior to that, and maybe even the week before that, you would see a sign in the audience where we want women's tag titles. And I saw it like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I thought it was a plant from WWE the whole time. In fact, I brought it up on one of the other shows. I thought it was a plant, but yet here I find myself talking about it. So if it was a plant, it actually worked. Because we want to talk about it. We have to talk about it. But in order to talk about that, we need to first talk about the top-tier women in wrestling right now, which are Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. And what an incredible performance Ronda Rousey has given lately. Her freaking promos have been outstanding, which have been written by Paul Heyman, is what I understand. Joe, did you know that?
Becky Lynch's promos have been written by Paul Heyman?
No, not Becky's. These are Ronda Rousey's promos.
Yeah, I mean, the words that Ronda is saying are better, but her delivery still needs a lot of work. She delivers in a way that's like very pouty and not intimidating. And I think that's mainly just because her face always looks pouty.
Mm-hmm.
So it never comes out that intimidating. It's like, I was breaking arms because my mom woke me up and I just chewed a brr, brr, brr. I'm like,
Actually, I enjoyed, that was good stuff there. I enjoyed the promo she did prior to going into Evolution more than I did last night. Or this week's. However, I do think she's getting better, and that is a plus. You're right, though. She does need to definitely work on her delivery some more. And once she gets down, she'll be good. But she'll probably be on her way out to have a baby by that time. But we'll see how that works out for her. But Becky Lynch, on the other hand, man, that promo she cut. I saw it last night. I watched both Raw and SmackDown last night to catch up. And, man, I had to force myself to watch through some of that crap. But I did, and I made it through. I made it out okay. Just a couple of blood stains here and there, but I made it out okay. But, man, Becky Lynch, though, man, she has really upped her game. Not only did I notice Joe and Christian, and I want to talk about Becky Lynch, not only did I notice about her delivery and everything on the promos, but also her accent, and that's the main thing I've noticed. Her accent has really improved quite a bit. And I think it's a result of going out there, getting more time on the mic, because you absolutely improve when you get more time out there in front of a live audience. And she's been getting that lately, and she has just upped her game immensely. Joe, what are your thoughts on that, man? Do you agree with what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking this, I think today, when I was thinking about the podcast, I think, like, Becky is – I'm interested when Becky is wrestling. I am interested when Becky is talking. And there's no other wrestler currently that I care that much about, even The Miz. Miz overall, I love The Miz. He's one of my favorites of all time. But currently my favorite wrestler is Becky Lynch. And I think she's been killing it. And it's very strange – we didn't talk for a couple weeks or something. Between Evolution and Crown Jewel, the best fight was Becky Lynch versus Charlotte for both pay-per-views combined.
Yes.
And I think she's just been amazing so far, and I'm hoping this continues. And I think her attitude right now is something that could last for easily up to WrestleMania, hopefully longer. But they can't, if she loses to Ronda Rousey, Jesus Christ, that's going to be the stupidest thing.
Yeah, I know. And that begs the question, Christian, where are you with your prediction on this, man? Does she beat Ronda Rousey, or does she go down?
She goes down, but it's gonna be by shenanigans. You can't have Ronda cleanly beat Becky Lynch on the roller coaster fire ride she's in right now. So the best case scenario is this match is gonna end by a disqualification. That's the best case scenario, or no contest.
I would have to agree on that. What about you, Joe? Would you agree that would be a end in some type of shenanigans, no contest maybe or something?
I can see that happening. What my best case scenario is that Becky Lynch beats Ronda clean, and then Ronda is psychologically beaten, similar to when she lost to Holly Holm in the UFC, and they kind of do that UFC as like a storyline on WWE where she's kind of broken and not the same person. So then you have Nia Jax beat her, and then you have all this other stuff happen where she's kind of – I think they're kind of doing that with Charlotte right now, but they should be doing that with Ronda Rousey soon.
Speaking of Charlotte, Joe, well, where does she go from here, though?
They're building Charlotte to fight Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so that's her plan. Christian, do you think that's going to go down? Charlotte,
she's
going to
join
Ronda.
Is going to go to Raw sooner or later. I don't know when, but it's going to happen eventually. Because there's nothing left for Charlotte to do on SmackDown. She already faced Asuka. She faced every single woman in the roster. So the only person she hasn't faced is Ember Moon. So that's going to be the best case scenario, is that she goes to Raw sooner or later. Probably even.
I don't know how the. I think they would have to find a way to get very creative, because I don't think that superstar shakeup is until after WrestleMania, am I right?
Yeah, well, but they did the same thing with Asuka. Asuka switched like programs in the middle. I could see Charlotte winning Royal Rumble.
Well, they could just do this. They could just have Charlotte have one more match against Becky, and if Becky wins, she's fired from SmackDown.
Yeah.
The old switcheroo, you're fired from SmackDown. Which speaking of SmackDown and getting fired, the angle with the Miz, pulling the he was injured thing on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Let's get off script here just for a little bit. Was that done? Do you guys think that was done just so that he wouldn't go to SmackDown, or why do you think that happened, Joe?
I was trying to figure out why I was so into wrestling, and then you just reminded me. This Shane McMahon thing, I hate Shane McMahon. I'm tired of him. I watched him live fall off the thing and hit the table against The Undertaker. That was cool. That should have been the last match he ever had. But his filling in for The Miz, I think that was the plan all along, because they needed some big names, because Cena and Daniel Bryan weren't there, so they just threw Shane in this thing. And then Shane wins.
Yes.
And Shane, very similar to when the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn thing, Shane McMahon is acting like a total heel, and he's not being treated like a heel. I think there were some signs of it in SmackDown that he might be the heel, but I worry, because similar to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, he kept acting like a heel, and they kept hinting that him being a heel, and nothing ever came of it. And it's like, it's just like this weird, miserable McMahon family needs to be part of everything that I just don't like it. I'm really sick of Shane McMahon. I want him done.
That's what I gathered from it. I mean, it seems like whenever they don't have anything conclusive, they just go with a McMahon to win. Yes, Christian.
Well, I have information on why they did it in the first place. They did it because they didn't want the World Cup to be that much important. Let's say a wrestler from SmackDown did win the World Cup. That means the wrestler has to come out every week, brag about it, and people don't want to be reminded about the pay-per-view of Saudi Arabia. So that's why they did it, because they didn't want to be reminded over and over again because of that pay-per-view, controversially wise.
So
that's why they did
did. Will this be the last time we see the World Cup, Christian?
Yes, definitely. Every time there's a first-time ever thing, it's mostly the last time. If not, then it's probably next year, but it's already dead right now. It was the first time, and it was already dead.
Yeah, that's a good way out. That's a good way out of that. because I want to go back to the women's titles and the tag team division. There was some things that happened this week. Well, actually, namely one thing, and that's the beatdown of Ember Moon by Tamina and Nia Jax.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you, and once I get you, I'm going to beat you, because that's what I do. I'm Nia Jax. But I digress. Speaking of this horrible delivery, but I digress. Anyway, so this is a new power team, guys. So, you know, we were talking about the women's titles. We were calling for them to happen at Evolution 4 months ago. The time came and went. It didn't happen. Is this something that they're going to do at WrestleMania? Do we know this for sure? Christian, I know you keep up with the news. Do we know for sure that they are coming out with these titles yet? Have they been shown or anything? Do you know?
Probably, but like I said on Monday Night Raw, which you could listen to on World Generation Network on the library on demand, that I said that if they can't even book the men's tag team division right, what chance does the women's tag team division have?
Oh, my God.
What chance do they have? Plus, the reason why Nia Jax and Tamina are getting fucking pushed is because they're related to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, well, I've been saying that all along. That's the only reason they have jobs. One is related to Roman Reigns. The other one is Jimmy Snuka's daughter. I mean, you know. Joe Bates, though, this new power team, could it be that they're making a run and they're going to get the titles in the end? Would they be suited for them?
Didn't their father murder somebody? So isn't that like an out of fire?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Nia Jax, though, here's the deal. Nia Jax should never talk on the mic. I actually don't mind her wrestling. I think it's fine. She's the largest person there. She's very strong. I think her match with Ronda Rousey is still Ronda Rousey's best match. But I just, Tamina, they tried to push her two or three times, and they've all been horrible flops, and this one just was sad. The whole with Nia Jax like cheering that she won at the end of it was weird. She never like fully acts like a monster heel that she should be. And I don't her cheering after Tamina and her like beat up Ember Moon was very similar to when you remember Karma?
Yes.
Karma when she got pregnant and she had been destroying people and was like one of the most interesting wrestlers I had seen in a while. Then she just started crying in front of everybody and I was like, oh man. Well, I know that's how they wanted to write her off, but it was just like, jeez, this sucks. And it just feels like that's happened
again.
That's
how Jack felt too. It was just so it was terrible, her cheering in there in the ring. I mean, if you want to be treated like a powerhouse, a mean, vicious powerhouse of a team, you can't go out there and smiling and shit. Come on, man.
I don't know if you saw this in the YouTube exclusive interview backstage of the Fallout, but there was an interview where she was eating a fucking banana and she looked stupid eating the fucking banana. The video was so purposely explaining why she turned heel. Her explanation was because we're family, that's it. And she just ate the banana.
Oh, shit.
She's a Valley girl heel now. She's a Valley girl heel.
I'm not digging that. I'm not going to dig that. I'm just not going to dig it. And I don't know what the other one is going to play, what type of part the other one, Tamina, is going to play, but it's going to be terrible, too. I can feel it already. Let's see. Looking on. The other women that we have on TV right now, of course, Ember Moon, who got beat down, the Riot Squad.
Natalya?
Alexa Bliss is injured right now. Of course, we have Natalya, that's on Raw. And on SmackDown, the women on TV on SmackDown, a little bit different. And pardon me, I don't have the results here. Damn it. But on SmackDown, we have... who is it?
Nikki Cross, the new NXT superstar,
yes,
the debut.
Nikki Cross made her debut this week and got beat down by...
I like that, though.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought it was entertaining. I thought she was entertaining, even though it was very weird entertaining. It was weird entertaining, but it was entertaining nonetheless. So, but these are the women that we have going into the pay-per-view. A lot of them are going to be involved in the Survivor
SmackDown
series.
Yeah.
Survivor Series. There we go. And so
I have the list of the female side for SmackDown if you want me to explain it.
Yes, I have them too right here. Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, and Asuka. And
probably Mandy Rose too.
And Mandy Rose. So these are the women that we have, guys. And we have titles possibly coming up, tag team titles. So I can see all of these women already starting to pair up. Okay, you have some that are in threes as well, because you know the New Day made that hip again, something the Freebird started way back in the 70s, I guess. But the New Day brought it back, and now you have a lot of trios out there, namely the Riot Squad. And let's go ahead and jump to this other segment, or we'll combine it as well. Natalia's cheap sunglasses that I had, because she had a segment this week where she lost her cheap sunglasses because the Riot Squad broke them. Ruby Riot just broke her dad's sunglasses that her dad gave her before he passed. They look like dollar store glasses, by the way. I don't think those were real. In fact, come on, they weren't real. It was storyline, scripted. But still, it was done to make a point. You know, she's breaking the glasses, and that's going to carry off into something. But at the end of the day, there's going to be tag titles, and are they going to be putting the tag titles on trios the way they did with the New Day? Are they going to be exploiting that quite a bit is my question, I guess, because it seems that we are going to be getting these titles, and you do see a lot of women teams pairing up, oddly enough. This Natalia paired up with, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's pairing up with Sasha and Bayley now. And when are we ever going to get that feud? Joe, anything about that, man?
Man, I think they're so stuck with Bayley and Sasha because they have these other things going on. And they're so afraid to have another woman's storyline going on amongst all the other ones. The Ruby Riot thing is a complete flop. I think Ruby Riot's interesting, but she needs to, that group needs to break up and she needs to do her own thing. Ruby Riot, actually works better. I think Ruby Riot works better as a face than a heel. It's very strange to keep doing the same 3-on-3 match over and over again. I don't know. I know you're talking about this tag team thing. I don't see that happening for a while. I think they wanted to do it, but it just, they don't have it. They can't work it in. Like, this is how much stuff they have going on. Not that it's working, but Elias turning face has not even been on the Hulu edit of WWE Raw.
No.
I didn't even know that happened until I saw a random match like on Facebook. I was like, what? He's a face now? So I missed all of that.
Oh, man.
And I can't imagine them introducing a... They tried to give Bayley and Sasha the storyline. It was poorly written and dumb. The Ruby... I don't know. It's all so bad. The two people that Ruby Riot's with, maybe Liv Morgan, but they both... They feel like they need a lot of women competitors right now, and they have plenty of NXT to poop up. They need to get rid of Liv Morgan and the other girl from Kentucky. They're both really bad and not interesting at all.
Christian, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Joe Bates because I've been saying this for weeks that the Wyatt Squad needs to disband. I think this is the worst female stable ever created. They never win a single fucking match. And the six-woman Raw match was horrible. It ended in a no contest because of a stupid sunglasses being broken. I think that's horrible. This was also for a qualifying match for the Survivor Series team, so you just ruined the whole quality of the Survivor Series women's team. because you don't take it seriously. If you're not taking it seriously, then how the fuck are we supposed to take it seriously? I think the Riot Squad is a joke, and I think they need to disband.
Interesting.
I will say
let's move on.
I do think, before you go, I do think this, though, of all the sunglass thing I think was stupid, but I do think Natalia had real tears.
She had a little bit of spooge on her face.
Yeah, she had snot. She was snotting up. So she really took her dad being dead and used it in that moment. It's too bad the entire match and that week, like the crowd had no response. That is the worst thing to have in wrestling is the crowd having no response.
You're right. But she did look like she had spooge all over her face. I mean, she did her part to get the segment over. But unfortunately, it was already butchered. It was already butchered to begin with. One more thing before we go to break. Brock Lesnar's new deal. And I have an update on it right now. Apparently, Brock Lesnar has re-signed with WWE on a new deal, which is... they got a freaking report on it, but basically they should just say he's got a new deal because they got no details on it. None. Just that it's a secretive deal, believed to be a short-term deal that could take him through WrestleMania.
I would imagine it's going to take him through WrestleMania,
Christian, and the reason being the lack of Roman Reigns, man.
I have to say something, dude. Brock Lesnar brings nothing to the table no more, man. He's not fucking money. I'm sick. You talk about Roman Reigns being shoved down our throats. Brock Lesnar has been shoved down our throats, whether he's there or not. I am sick in death of Lesnar, all right? I'm tired of his gimmick. Suplex City, it's done. It was over. It was cool in 2015, but it's not no more. This is 2018. We're going towards 2019, and we're still seeing the same matches with him over and over and over. He buries the wrestlers, hits a few suplexes, and then a multiple F5. That does not make a good match. That makes a lazy-as-hell match. I am done with Brock Lesnar.
I have to say something about Brock Lesnar now. And the reason they signed him is because he's all they've got, Christian. They have to sign him. Meanwhile, we have Batman, who is joining us, sauntering in a little late. Batman, how in the blue hell are you doing, bud? Give it up for Batman, everybody. Brock Lesnar, man.
Bro,
he's all they've got right now.
Bro, I have an idea. Brock freaking Lesnar winning the WWE champ. Look, here's Christian. I have to disagree with him. There is something that Brock Lesnar brings, and you know what he brings? His eyes, and here's the reason why. Here's the great thing about WWE, what they've been doing lately, is bringing in a lot of other companies or affiliating themselves now. Maybe not affiliating, but if you've noticed some of these the videos that they've been packages that they've been doing for other wrestlers and stuff, they'll have like Evolve or Ring of Honor. They'll basically, you know, they'll show other companies' product, right? Well, what that's doing is bringing eyes to those other companies. Here's the thing. Brock Lesnar brings eyes from people in the UFC. Did you just recently see the Daniel Cormier promo that he did?
Yeah.
I say promo because he's a wrestling fan. I mean, he's on Jericho's.
Right.
He's a JR. He's been on Seth.
To take a mic for WWE.
Yes.
He's going to be groomed for that.
Yes, he has. And he's been groomed not only because he's being groomed like business-wise, but because as a fan, if you're a fan, you're going to get those little niches. You know what I mean? Those little things. And because he's a fan, that was a promo that he did. He was calling out Brock Lesnar. And guess what? Now you've got a WWE champion versus
bring
UFC
it with you.
Double fucking UFC champion. And Brock Lesnar has already, didn't he call out Daniel Cormier as well, or John Jones? He's got this power where he can go to UFC, come to WWF or WWE, and mix it in together. And the great thing about that is, and here, I literally just had an argument with somebody here at work today, so I'm out of breath because I've been up and down three flights of stairs. we literally just had this argument. He's like, oh, well, it's fake. I'd rather watch UFC. I'm like, you realize that UFC and a lot of stuff that they get, McGregor and all that, comes from fucking WWE. All the guys in UFC, not all of them, but a majority of them are fucking wrestling fans. And guess what? UFC fans and WWE fans, wrestling fans, they don't usually get along. We'll say that, you know. And again, with the argument I had with the guy earlier, he was like, he's like, oh, well, they don't bring eyes. And then, you know, wrestling, you know, UFC has more of this and that. You know what? Guess what? Now they're mixing it in. This is going to legitimize both companies. You know what I mean? Because now people are going to see that UFC, just like every other company, like NFL or other things out there, they're getting a lot of shit from the wrestling business. Their promos, their video packages, their camera angles. I mean, before UFC was really nothing. They're like, their camera angles was just like one linear. You know what I mean? And now it's like one angle
and
here,
even,
and here, and
even football. Even in
football,
the XFL
football, look,
opened up a lot of shit for the
exactly.
NFL.
Football, NFL got a lot of shit from the XFL, right?
Yeah,
so what this
absolutely.
Brings is now mixing. Now you're mixing two major fucking companies, two major championships. Imagine the pay-per-view buys. We as wrestling fans, look, we're going to stick to wrestling fans. But if you look at it, the business aspect, Jesus Christ, there is going to be a lot of money, and it's going to be a lot of talk. And you know why? We're talking about it right now on a fucking podcast. That has nothing to do with the UFC. You know what I mean? But we're talking about how the fact that it brings in that world. So there you go.
Joe
Batman
Banks,
back to the back.
What about the possible UFC run? Lesnar goes to UFC, and what about if he gains a UFC title automatically, just all of a sudden, and he's got two titles? What are your thoughts on that, man? What does that do for the business?
I gotta say that Batman, Batman has convinced me that it's a good idea, which is nice. I was
Did
a
I just turn a heel into a
it.
Face?
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
This is a face
turn. It looked like I was gonna Stone Cold Stone, but I just kicked him in the stomach and then gave him a big hug.
okay, Bailey. This is exactly what Bailey does.
But I didn't realize this, but Kevin Owens was talking about Braun Strowman, and Strowman's only been wrestling for like 3 years. So I didn't realize that Strowman. Yeah, I didn't realize he was that green. I knew he was green, but I didn't realize he was that green. So I'm like, you really can't give him the title yet. Yeah, so he'll be amazing if his body holds up. I read somewhere, and maybe this wasn't confirmed, but I thought Cormier versus Jon Jones 3 was the next title match already.
I read that,
Lesnar's
too.
WWE. So,
I heard that, too.
So Lesnar's not going to be in the UFC, but I would be interested to see Cormier or Jon Jones show up on WWE, but they've never done something like that before. That would be interesting.
Nope. Hey, you know what? And it's possible because Dana White has already showed up. Ronda Rousey
and
is
Dana,
in the fucking business now. Yeah, you know, so.
And Dana White loves Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah, he loves Vince McMahon. Dana White gets a lot of his shit from. That's exactly where the UFC. Look, UFC wasn't shit. Now, this sounds terrible because I'm a big fan of Gracie in the, back in the day. UFC, the whole production is all WWE. I don't give a fuck if anybody agrees with me or not. It's all WWE.
Oh,
the lights,
man.
The action, it is all WWE.
They probably
look
hired
at Cormier.
One of WWE's ex-guys.
Here's Cormier to me is the face. McGregor is the heel in that business. McGregor, he talks a lot of shit, but guess what? He gets all the fucking eyes. Like when that day when he was there was one promo where he was talking shit about, he was like, well, Vince McMahon and John Cena, they're dons, but they're like the dons, you know, the mafia dons
Batman.
Or whatever. Yes.
Yeah, I hate to cut you off, bro, but this ain't about that, man. We gotta move on, bro, on time, dude. We gotta move on time. So having said that, we're gonna take a commercial break, and we're gonna be right back after these words, and then we're gonna get on with Survivor Series Bill and Daniel Bryan and
I. See my reflection change. Nothing ever stays the same. But you know the name's the game. Unforgiven, unforeseen.
Hey, Hey, you silly kids, it's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show that determines things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on World Generation Network. Tune in to Radio Renegade with your hosts, Christian from Philly and Batman. A show where they talk about missed booking opportunities, what is scenarios, what the fuck moments, and more. That's Radio Renegade, Saturdays at 8 p.m. only on the World Generation Network. Be there.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? You want to see something really scary?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Radio right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and we're going to talk about Survivor Series and the build to Survivor Series, and this is going to tie into everything else we have to talk about. Right now, guys, I'm looking forward to the Survivor Series. It's always been my least favorite pay-per-view. But the matches they have announced so far are matches that I want to see. With Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. And I'm pulling for Becky Lynch on this one. Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke. I'm going to be pulling for Shinsuke on this one. As much of a fan I am of Rollins, still I'm like, Shinsuke needs this win badly. And then Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, guys. Holy shit, man. Joe, what's going to happen with this match, man? Is freaking Brock Lesnar going to tear AJ Styles apart limb by limb?
I think it'll be the exact same match they did last time because Lesnar's not going to want to learn anything new, not want to do anything dangerous where he gets hurt. Maybe Braun Strowman shows up to break it up. But again, Lesnar's going to be wrestling in a way that he doesn't want to get hurt. So he'll probably be overly dominating people. Shinsuke and Rollins, I think, man, Shinsuke really is just, I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone in 6 months. I think he's great, but they just completely buried him.
Man.
But I hope Shinsuke beats Rollins, can maybe let us spark something. And then the Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey match I'm excited for. But all the Survivor Series matches, like there's a tag team one now, so it's like three different Survivor Series matches. It's just, I'm not excited for any of those. I honestly, I think they should. I know the big four is Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. I think they should take Survivor Series out and replace it with Money at the Bank as like the big four pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But Survivor Series. It's the SmackDown versus Raw thing is. I've never once been entertained by a SmackDown versus Raw promo of any sort. So this will be more of the same.
It just doesn't do anything for me, Batman. What about you, man? I know you're a huge fan of all wrestling, but what about these Survivor Series matches? Have you ever been into them? I have never been into them, bro.
I am a huge fan, but Bubba Love, just because I love you don't mean I like you. So I agree with Joe, man. It hasn't done anything for me this past couple years. The only thing that I can think of in recent memory that was pretty cool was last year with the Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan when they were like, they went to each other, you know, whatever the fuck, and they beat the shit out of each other. That was like the best part of the whole series. You know what I mean? The match wasn't too great. None of that stuff. Look, I think Survivor Series was great when it was just one. How can I explain this? Back in the day, you know, with the gobbledygooker kind of days, those days.
Right.
I like that because it was one big major just team. But before with the Raw, SmackDown. Yeah, before the brand split,
right.
It's like I don't need to see a brand split kind of thing. I just
right.
just give me the best of the best. And if you are going to do a Survivor Series, I mean, do it like that. We don't need three different Survivor Series or SmackDown and Raw and this and that. We don't need all that.
I know,
it's kind of been the same with the Hell in the Cell too, you know, or the TLC
right.
matches, or we don't need multiple things of those. If you are going to do it, just have one Hell in the Cell match in a Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. Same thing, Survivor Series, do a big one, and that's all you need. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess that they're going to try to put the women into it too, but the card isn't all that great. And I think the reason why it's not great, and here's this is the honest truth, as much of a fan as I am, but I have been saying it's oversaturated. We literally, in the past, like, what, 3 months, we've had 5 pay-per-views already? Two, three months, we've had 5 pay-per-views. So every 2 weeks, we have another pay-per-view. What are you going to do now? Like, I think they just need to stop doing all these pay-per-view things and do what they should do is do the big four and then do those other ones, like special ones, like how they did back then. It was Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam and Survivor Series, and then they would have little other ones like In Your House, or they'd have, you know what I mean? Random ones.
Right.
But having a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, it really fizzles down the big four. Like, even Royal Rumble, guess what? I forgot about the Royal Rumble because they went and had the greatest Royal Rumble right after WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
I've never even liked this whole thing of big four. You know, I mean, to me, I've never even saw Royal Rumble as one of the big ones or whatever the hell, or especially Survivor.
That's fucking from a customer.
I've always thought that one was horrible, but I agree with Joe. It should be freaking Money in the Bank because that's a badass one. That's clearly one of the best ones that they have. So I think that one should be considered. If they're going to have a big four, that one would definitely be on there. And I don't know which other one.
The big problem with Survivor Series is that there's nothing really at stake. The matches, the team matches really don't have anything like title contingencies. Like, say, if one team wins, then they have a future championship opportunity later down the road. Like, something at stake or something. Or something important. One of my favorite Survivor Series matches was the Invasion one in 2001, because it was like two companies facing each other. Kayfabe wise, it was two companies facing each other. WCW and WWE facing each other.
It seemed like they had something that they were fighting for. You're right.
So that was the only legitimate one. Yeah.
Yeah.
What they should do, I think they should incorporate NXT, because if they're really treating like NXT is a different company. So what I would do for next year is have WWE versus NXT team matches to see who's the better company. Triple H versus Vince McMahon, who has the better creation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Listen to Christian and Batman each and every Saturday right here on the World Generation Podcast Network, and also Joe Bates on Fridays, and he returns this week as well with one final episode until we start running reruns, Joe.
Okay.
What's your opinion about the NXT versus WWE idea?
First off, thank you very much. Probably won't get started till next year, just based on what I'm doing these days.
Good. It'll give me a chance to put a list together.
NXT versus WWE, I think is a really good idea. I like that a lot. I was trying to think of different things that you could do. One I had is if you could do like the Attitude Era versus the current era, or like, you know, you have Shawn Michaels and Triple H, so you just kind of see them versus Seth Rollins and all those people. But you know what I was thinking when Batman brought it up, that, like a team versus like a. The last time they had a team in Survivor Series like that was the Nexus.
Oh, man, that was
badass. Yeah, that was the last time I remember that.
And the reason why is because they had something to fight for.
Yeah, because there were these new guys,
right,
and they all had to
the
stand up to them.
But that wasn't on Survivor Series. That was on SummerSlam.
Oh, shit.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
They did a Survivor Series match on SummerSlam?
Yeah, they did, yeah. They did that, yeah.
Oh.
Damn it. They bastardized the Survivor Series. Getting back to the build, you know, it's going on. We have this build starting right now with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, where they're enjoying each other, but secretly, you know, or they're secretly enjoying each other, even though they hate each other. And then they realize that they're starting to secretly enjoy each other's company, and then, you know, they shake it off. Our resident comedian, Joe Bates, is this working out, man? And where do you think this is going?
You know what?
Another layer?
I actually really enjoy this. Outside Becky Lynch is the only other thing I really enjoy, because I don't really know where they're going with this. It seems like it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon, or Daniel Bryan versus like everybody. That seems like the obvious choice. But there's a possibility it could be Daniel Bryan and The Miz versus Shane McMahon, and them having a tag team, which I thought while they were talking to each other and doing the awkward stares, I was like, this would be really nice to have a Daniel Bryan Miz tag team. This would be funny. It's kind of like when you did Team Hell No. This would be,
I think they're
going to
do that.
Two really good wrestlers, and it'd be enjoyable to see them together. And I also like them picking a team. I like that a lot. I don't trust Shane McMahon to really stick the landing in this angle of what they're doing, but he's definitely going to be involved. I don't trust him, but I do trust Daniel Bryan in The Miz. On that note, though, I know it's a little bit earlier than I usually leave, but I got to head out, all right? So take care.
Well, we appreciate
Christian
you.
From Philly.
We appreciate you being
Batman,
here, Joe.
Minister Sinister, as always, the greatest wrestler of all time is Gangrel. Oh, that was just the Halloween episode. Did you see they did the Brood in the New Day? The Brood Day.
Yeah, that was fantastic, man.
They brought it.
That was awesome. The Brood Day,
note,
yeah, that was great.
Go All right. Bye, man.
Go Gangrel. All right. Well, shit. Joe Bates, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen. And you can check out the comedy of Joe Bates at joebatescomedy.com. So be sure and go check that out. Let's see, guys. We're moving on here with Daniel Bryan and The Miz. We're talking to Batman and Christian here. Guys, Batman, did you check out what we were talking about there with the awkward stares and stuff, how, you know, the whole thing going on between Bryan and The Miz?
Man, you know what? It was funny because I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago too, how I could see we could see them teaming up, you know, just kind of to make the story, like, give it longevity. And now that they're teaming up, I don't like it at all. See, this is one of those where I've even said it before, the fans don't always know what they want. You know what? I wanted that in a way. Like, I think I even said it too, where it's like, I could see Daniel Bryan going heel, you know, and teaming up with The Miz or whatever, just to kind of stretch out the story, get to at least WrestleMania or Royal Rumble at least. But now, I just repeated myself, but now that they're actually doing it, it's like oil and water. I'd rather see them fight. I can't see. That segment killed me, honestly. Like, you know how he came out and he's like, well, with the Shane McMahon thing and all. I'm at a loss for words.
The more I watch the more I like it.
Usually I'm not. Huh?
The more I watched it, the more I liked it, because it progressed throughout the show. I think it did four times.
It did. It did, but the initial one was like, I usually have a lot to say, and I don't have a lot because I don't get it. It's like when you have like a really, really hot girl you've been waiting for forever, and then you finally get her, and she's like really boring. That's what it's like.
Oh, my God.
That's how I felt yesterday. That was my only analogy for that.
And let's go with Christian. Christian?
Here's what I see about the whole situation. I think we're going to see The Miz being face and going against heel Daniel Bryan and heel Shane McMahon. I think they're planning on turning Miz face and going against the authority of SmackDown and Daniel Bryan.
Damn. And so you think that Daniel Bryan is going to end up being Shane McMahon's henchman?
Yes, because they cheered for Miz more than Shane McMahon SmackDown, and there was less cheers for Daniel Bryan and more cheers for The Miz.
I noticed that. I sure did.
You are damn fucking right. Yes, they did. It was a louder pop for The Miz than Daniel Bryan, which is unheard of. So, and Christian, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because you kind of, you're more detail-oriented, so you have a better memory than I do, but didn't that just happen, like, literally overnight, right? Like, it wasn't like a progressive, like we're slowly starting to hate Daniel Bryan, slowly starting to like Miz. It was literally, like, overnight. And I think, honestly, it was when Daniel Bryan beat The Miz with the schoolboy. With that, like, a couple pay-per-views ago, like, two pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, Super Showdown,
Super Showdown, right? And he did a really, it was like a quick match, just straight to the point, and he went and it ended in a schoolboy. To me, that kind of like deflated the balloon. Whatever they were doing, it deflated it there, and it's like right off the bat, it flipped the script, and The Miz became face, and Daniel became heel, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their intention, but.
And then he suddenly gets a spot in SmackDown without even earning it.
Yeah, see, and that's a heelish thing to do.
Yeah.
The only person that can get away with that is John Cena. But other than that, most of the time, it's a heel thing. It's a heel move.
I mean, The Miz deserved it because he was at the finals of the tournament. But Shane McMahon took him out, so Shane screwed Miz. That making Miz sympathetic.
I didn't even think of that. I don't know how I missed that, but you're right. That move, and then Shane grabbing that the trophy from Paige, being like real feisty with it, you know, like real, he wanted all the spotlight. That was a heel move, too. So, I get what you're saying now. So, I guess it does make sense.
So, you guys think that we're on the cusp of a switcheroo between Daniel Bryan and Miz, heel and face? It certainly seems that way.
We're seeing at a four-way switch because also, I think Paige is turning heel, too, because he supported Paige.
I saw that, too.
Like a heel manager.
Yeah.
I saw that, too. And you know what? That would make sense because Paige would be the one to even out the score, you know, for Shane. You know, Shane going off track. In fact, so, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And it's also what's very interesting, though, is that we all saw the same thing. That's what's interesting. We see it happening. But the question is, are they going to do it? because we've seen it happening between fucking Sasha Banks and Bayley, and they never did it. They never did shit with it, man. So hopefully they'll pull the trigger on this and move forward with it. Moving on, have the New Day. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think they tried to pull the trigger with the Bayley. They was just full of blanks. They pulled the trigger. It was just nothing but blanks.
Because if they turn Bree Bella heel, then Daniel Bryan's next.
You're damn fucking right. You are damn right.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I was even wondering the same thing, because she was literally just a face, like not even 2 weeks before that with the Daniel Bryan storyline.
And yeah, you're right.
In the snap of a finger, she went, you're right as fuck.
Well, let's see here. We're going to move on to, we have new tag champions on Raw.
Yes.
When the announcement was made this week, that by Baron Corbin, who, by the way, I'm enjoying Baron Corbin. And before we get to the new tag champs, I'd like to hear from Batman on Baron Corbin, because we didn't get to get your thoughts on him. Christian and I spoke about Baron Corbin. I'm enjoying Baron Corbin right now. I think he's grasping it. He's taking his authority figure role, and he's turning himself into a real asshole. And so much to where the WWE talent is like laughing at him, but then he finds a way to get back at them. And on the stage this week, when he had them out there on the stage, even some of the women were laughing, and that might come back to bite them in the ass when he books them down the line against possibly even the monster heels of Nia Jax and Tamina Snuka. Maybe they're going to be used in that type of role where he can sick them after, for example, Sasha and Bayley, who were up there laughing at Corbin and shit. So I really dig the way Corbin is developing his character and grasping it. Batman, do you have anything to say about that before we move on to the tag team champs?
Yeah, man. Look, I actually like this whole thing. When he changed his look, he changed his hair. Sometimes that's what you need as a character. He just changed everything. If it's not working, change what you're doing. And he changed it, and it fucking works great. Because here's the thing. It didn't work before because he was trying to get this tough guy look, but he had such of like a mischievous, whiny little attitude. You know what I mean? So his look and his attitude weren't matching. But now he's got that business attire. He's got this like better than now kind of attitude. So it works for the character that he's trying to do as a commissioner or as a general manager, you know? And because he is an asshole, it's the look and the role that he's playing, not as a role as like Baron Corbin heel, but as the role as like the general manager, that assholeness works perfectly for him. Like you said, he can throw his weight around. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not like how like when Mick Foley was commissioner, he threw his weight around a little bit once he got pushed, but he was always like funny, go lucky, you know, this and this and that. Baron has been serious the whole time. And when he does asshole things, it just looks like, well, you're just a shitty boss. You know what I mean? So it works.
Yeah.
It works for him. And then there's a saying, you know, that when your character really gets over, it's only because you're playing yourself 10 times over. Like, you know, you're not holding back. You know, this is just you're turned up to, so you're turning the volume up to 10, basically. Baron Corbin has been, I've heard that he's an asshole in real life. I mean, did you ever watch Breaking Ground when NXT before the guys got called up into the roster a couple years ago? Look it up. It's in the network, man. It's called Breaking Ground. And there were segments where he was. Yeah, okay, right. Okay, so Christian, so you probably remember when they had little segments with Baron Corbin, and he was like, you know, they basically made him out to be an asshole in real life.
Yeah.
I don't care what people think. I'm going to do what I need to do. And then not that long after, he got called to the main roster. And it completely just backfired.
Or I remember reading about him that he had some problems somewhere where he was working. Maybe a football team, where he got into a couple of squabbles and shit.
He was a football player. He was a football player before he became a
wrestler. Those squabbles that he got into actually hindered his career, is what I've heard.
In fact, his attitude problems were so bad, that's the reason why he lost his money in the bank in the first place.
Because of his attitude? Is that right?
Yeah, because of what he said about Nikki Bella and John Cena and his attitude, that's why he lost the briefcase.
Oh, hell, I did not know that.
Here's the thing, is that they really were high on him, But he basically busted a Mr. Kennedy time. You know, he was a Mr. Kennedy squared.
Oh, hell.
Exactly what happened to Mr. Kennedy because of his shitty attitude. Here's the thing is he's real condescending. I don't know him personally, but just the way they make him out to be, he's like a condescending, sanctimonious son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Better than everybody. He doesn't deserve to bust his ass. He should be there already.
But let's be honest. He was not going to be a good WWE champion in the first place.
He wasn't going to be a what?
Not then.
He wasn't going to be a good
maybe
champion
not
back then.
Yeah, maybe not then, but I think they're priming him up. And you know what? Hold on.
I think right now.
Oh, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. That man's got some real loud sounds in the background that are coming through
a little
too loud. Yeah. Hey, but listen, what we were saying, though, is the – all right. Shit, I lost my train of thought. Baron Corbin, okay?
You were saying that he's ready right now and they're pushing him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, but to touch on what Batman was saying, though, you know, he – with the whole Mr. Kennedy type thing – man, he must have, I don't know what the hell he did. He must have already had Vince McMahon in his pocket or something for Vince McMahon to actually let him back and get into this role after he fucked up.
It was on Twitter.
Is what I'm saying.
It was on Twitter. It was on Twitter. He was talking about Nikki Bella in a bad way, and he should have kept his mouth shut. This also reminds me of Cesaro when he was on an interview in London, right? This was in 2014, right? Him and Cesaro was having a match against Dolph Ziggler in a 2 out of 3 falls match for Intercontinental, right? So Cesaro went on this interview in London. He got asked this question: how do you feel about the Randy Orton versus John Cena feud? He said that he doesn't like the feud, that it's boring. He got punished for that.
Wow, interesting.
Cesaro got punished for it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out for with all this shit we're talking about here. I'll tell you what, man, let's take a break. Let's take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with this conversation because we never even got started with the AOP. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have new tag champs, and they are the AOP. I don't have their music. But I'll tell you what, I'll play the Bludgeon Brothers just because. And where the hell are they at lately?
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast, Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood Cavey, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
Are you ready for some more? You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no. What do you want to call it? You want to call it Drinking Soda, but you don't want to call it soda, because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday nights? Okay. Well, you did Rippin' Fridays. You did Saturday Night Special. You did. Tuesday's gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Latino Heat. Chica, ¿tú quieres probar a un latino más? Suerte de mi lado, cause I'm bringing the heat. Cuando todo se termine, si tú quieres, yo regreso. I'm not scared of you, my brother, cause I'm Latin.
All right. What's going on? We are back. Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Of course, we're jamming out to Eddie G, Latino Heat. I really enjoy that song. Oh, shit, guys. All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to it. We're going to jump right in. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have brand new Raw Tag Champions this week. The AOP, I had called for a tournament. Well, I was way off on this shit, man. I was the first one to say it, too. It's obvious they're going to do a tournament. And then, no tournament. Baron Corbin instead comes out. Boom, makes me like him more. Just like that. Just fuck it. You know what, Seth Rollins? That was a great promo you cut. But, that's not what he said, but still. You know, it's a great promo. Seth Rollins got a great promo as always. But then Baron Corbin goes out there and decides that, you know what, AOP is going to get a title challenge tonight. And just like that, we have brand new Raw Tag Champions. Batman, was this the right move, man?
Fuck no. I feel like they could have done the feud. I feel like they could have done the feud. What was I going to say? Continued it. Both of them as tag champs.
Oh, I see. So what would they have done then? They would have paired them. You know, you still got a tag team match and.
Something like that. I mean, didn't Stone Cold and Triple H? They were the
I remember
power trip or whatever
shit like that in the past.
But
everything
they were
was like
fucking
done
enemies,
bro.
It was HBK.
Wasn't it? It was one. Yeah, they were a tag team, but they hated each other. But
they were feuding against the Hart Foundation.
Yeah. So. And they would just put him in the tag team. Like, they were like, well, you're still tag team champs. You still got to go out there. And so they made it work in the match. And I think that's just what they could do with Daniel. I mean, I'm sorry, not with Daniel, with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. They could still go out there and defend their championship belt, you know. And then, you know, it's funny. They could even win, but only because of accidents that happen. Like, I could even hear the commentary. Somebody be like, wow, I can't believe they're still, you know, like, they were still by an accident. But, hey, a win is a win or, you know, some stupid shit like that. Where the other one pushes the other one over and accidentally lands on the other guy. Where, like, let's say Dean Ambrose does his DDT, and then out of nowhere Seth Rollins hits him or something like that. And while the dude is still knocked out, Dean Ambrose falls back and pins the guy. You know what I mean? Some stupid, but
yeah.
But it would work, and just to keep them feuding. Maybe it has been done, but it hasn't been done in recent memory to where it'll still be fresh
right.
For somebody else. You know what I mean?
Well,
you
I
know
think
what?
They couldn't have done
that.
Because,
I like the way they did it.
I don't think they couldn't have done that idea.
Yeah, go ahead, Christian.
I don't think they could have done that idea because they still haven't written a fucking reason why he turned heel in the first place.
But they don't need it. I mean, you know, that can come out later on, though, Christian. I mean, that can
I know,
come out. It doesn't have to come out. You know, and he's obviously not going to tell him anytime soon because he's just like the other day what he did to him. He just went out there, and you still want to know why I did it, don't you? He's not going to tell him. You know, sometimes that's
the
real asshole thing to do.
I don't. It's
sometimes that's the asshole thing to do, and you have to be cold. But I like the way they did it. I'm okay with the way they did it. But I actually think I would have liked to have seen more with it the way Batman says. It maybe didn't have to be the same way. But
you
I would
tell
like
the
to have seen more with it.
You want to tell him the scary part of this, Minister? You want to tell him the scary part of this?
Tell him the scary part of it.
Holy crap, Batman, No Lie. This is a true story, ladies and gentlemen. On the night of Crown Jewel, I texted Minister the full card of Survivor Series. No fucking lie. Right, dude? I texted
you. You texted him what?
He texted me. I have the fucking text right here of the Crown Jewel, the freaking card.
For Survivor Series. I texted him that fucking Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, and Braun Strowman, and Dean or Finn will be in the Raw men's tag. And lo and behold,
you called
four
it right
out
the
of five. And then for the SmackDown team, I wrote fucking Miz, Brian, Joe, Ray, and Orton. I only got Orton wrong.
What?
He did, man.
And then for the women's one, I even put Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, fucking Asuka and Carmella for SmackDown, and Charlotte. And I put for Raw's fucking Bayley, Sasha Banks, Natalya, Nia, or Ember.
And yeah, it's all gonna work out because those are the ones that they're focusing on. I mean,
Then the most scariest one of all. This is the most scariest one. On the night they leaked that AOP was winning the Raw Championships, I put
Hold
the fucking bar.
Hold on a minute. I got to get some scary music on for this. All right, go ahead, man.
The fucking scary part of this all is that the night that they announced that they're going to win the tag championships, the same night that I texted Minister the card, I predicted that AOP was going to fight the bar as the new Raw Tag Champion.
Wow.
I predicted this before they announced it on Raw and leaked information. If that doesn't tell you how bad this company has gotten, I don't know what will.
Man, I'm listening to you, and it is scary, but that music reminds me of a fucking Mick Foley promo. Play it again.
Vince McMahon.
Go ahead. I'm trying to tell you that I am the son of mankind. But we, you never let me be. Have a nice day. I don't know what else to say. You know what you need to do the promos?
Yes.
I tried to be a good boy, man. I tried. Oh, man. That was good music. What was that?
But seriously, Batman, what the
no,
fuck?
No, yeah, seriously. I lost what the hell we're talking about now. I got to do the Mick Foley.
No, but seriously, the fact that I predicted 4 to 5 days ago.
The people.
No, okay, yeah. Okay, see, that's where the problem lies in. It's not the fact that you predicted it. It's the fact that you predicted it. One thing is predicting something at a random, like, oh, this is so random, just at the top of my head. But the thing is that you predicted it because they've been making everything so predictable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do a lot. Oh, man, I got to get that Canadian. A lot of it has to do with the oversaturation. Like, you know what? It's hard to keep things surprising. I guess the word is surprising. It's hard to keep things fresh now. You know, a lot of stuff. A lot of things have been done like they have before.
What about the fact that I predicted even before they announced it that AOP was going to be World Tag Champion?
Oh yeah,
that is kind of creepy because I didn't expect that. I was expecting like somebody else.
Or the fact that they're gonna face the bar at Survivor Series, and lo and behold, it's been announced on SmackDown.
They're gonna fucking.
He called me. He called me for that. He was like, dude,
Jesus,
they're going to fucking give the titles over just to AOP just like that. And I was like, come on, get out of here. And sure enough, I mean, they didn't give it to him just like that, but they might as well have. They fought against Seth Rollins 2-on-1.
I think we mentioned this before, and it kind of has to do with how the AOP or why the AOP won or even got the titles to begin with. But you think the Dean Ambrose turn happened on random because of the Roman Reigns? Like, do you think they even had it already? Like it just so happens that Roman Reigns had to do what he had to do that night, but they already had it. But they already had it planned out.
The original plan was for Dean to turn heel at Survivor Series.
So they were planning on it in Survivor Series, but they just decided to do it right then and there because of the Roman Reigns thing?
Yeah, it was a lot of time.
You know what? To me, that kind of makes sense that work. The only reason I'm asking, though, is because that's the only reason AOP has a title. A lot of stuff that's happening, even the Brock Lesnar thing, is because of the Roman Reigns. And look, it's funny because we talk all this shit about him, but look at all they're doing to fill that void or fill that hole. You know what I mean? What I was trying to get to was that it would make sense for Dean to turn that day because that's the only.
Well, why
if he would have turned Survivor Series, I don't think it would have turned heel or had
well,
that.
Why didn't Dolph and Drew get a rematch for the tag titles?
You know what? You bring up a good point. I don't know. Because you always have to have a rematch or whatever. What is it called when you the rematch
or
whatever.
It's a clause or whatever the hell they've
said it for
I don't know how many years, a rematch clause.
You think they're gonna bring it up? Because sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't do it
sometimes
right away.
They don't.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Look at Finn Balor.
That rematch clause
until like a fucking year later.
That rematch clause is only convenient when they need it, you know, when they use it for convenience.
Well, I think the exemption for him is because he's been going up the Intercontinental Championship.
Huh?
And yeah. I think the rule states that you can either have your rematch or give it up and go for another title.
I mean, or they probably just didn't do it because they're putting him into Survivor Series. AOP is in a Survivor Series. I mean, they're Survivor Series, but they're not in the Survivor Series match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe they're turn in their whatever the rematch clause or whatever, but they're just not going to use it right now. Right now, they're focused on the Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series.
Have you also noticed that Braun is being fucked over? Because he's teaming with people that he hates. He's teaming
he's
with fucking Baron Corbin.
Like Roman Reigns, dude. I've been trying to tell you guys this. I told you on Monday Night Raw. He's been on Monday Night Fallout, which you can go back and listen to right here on this network. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Fallout. Check it out. Fallout Resurrection. They're booking freaking Braun Strowman just like Roman Reigns used to be booked. That shit that he did at the beginning where he came out, plowed through security on the way in, plowed through wrestlers on the way out, that's all shit Roman Reigns did. And before him, it was Cena doing it. Yeah, this shit's all been done before, but that's not the problem, because that's going to happen all the time. There's nothing that can be not done anymore. Everything's already fucking been done. The problem is that why in the hell are they booking him that way? They should be booking him as a fucking unstoppable monster, like Brock Lesnar.
Because they need a new top guy, and Braun Strowman is a substitute.
Well, I'll tell you what, it won't be long till they'll be fucking booing Strowman for real.
I'll tell you.
The way they were fucking Reigns and shit, because that's how these people are.
They're
going to
start shoving him down everybody's throat, and that's a sad fucking thing because he organically gained the momentum that he gained.
I'm surprised they didn't turn on him after WrestleMania since he picked a child to be Raw Tag Team Championship with. I'm surprised they didn't turn him then and there.
Well, shit, you know what? Maybe they're not going to turn on him. Maybe he is a special neckbeard, I've always been saying. He's a very special neckbeard. He's King Neckbeard. And because he's King Neckbeard, they're not going to turn on him. And there it is. He's your new Hulk Hogan, which we've been fucking needing for a long time.
I mean, let's be honest, he was a rose.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. There's never going to be another Hulk Hogan in 24-inch pythons ever again.
Well, let's not forget that Braun Strowman was a Rosebud.
Oh, my fucking God. Next time on Unsolved Mystery. Man, like, fuck, I don't even know what to say about that because that's fucking true.
Right?
He was a Rosebud, and when he first started, he was only, what, like, only, like, 8 matches in? Not even?
Yep.
I think it was, like, between 4 to 8 matches in when
and
he debuted with the White Family.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Look, there's only one other person... What?
He debuted as the Black Sheep of the Wyatt family.
Yeah, his debut was with the Wyatt family. The only other person that I know that skyrocketed that fast, like in the business that quick, is Charlotte Flair. But Charlotte, second nature. And that's that she went up really, really. She like it was a meteoric rise. Braun Strowman has been on a meteoric rise. But it's been a lot of work on his rise. You know what I mean? Like, I think Charlotte was, like, just a natural flow. He's had to do a lot of work, man,
because he has
He's had to do a lot of work.
You know what's funny? You go back and watch him when he first got on the main event scene, and you watch him now. His mannerisms,
yeah.
a lot
you
of
know
shit
who
has
helped
just
him out,
changed
though?
About him.
If you disagree with me, then you're not a real fan because you must have not been to pay attention because – the person who really put him over, no, the one who put him over and really got him in the fucking groove was that feud with him and Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And
yeah,
that,
sure,
that
man.
Was like literally like about, that was like a year or two ago, almost. So it was almost 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. So, during that feud, he was still, look, he was becoming the monster among men, but that's what really put him over because those matches that he did with Roman. Roman really fucking sold a lot for that guy. So that's why it's now we're like it's a Roman talk
The only problem Roman has is that he's still green in the ring. He's still green.
He is green, but you know what's crazy is he's doing a lot like what Big Show did. Big Show accentuated his what he's good at, and he let go of the stuff that he's bad at. For him being green, right? What's working for him is not having to do all these fucking crazy moves. Maybe every once in a while, like I remember Big Show didn't do a lot of moves because he didn't need to. He worked for his size. You know what I mean? He doesn't need to fly around. But every once in a while he did a drop kick off the top rope, which was like the Big Show fucking drop kicking somebody. It's like seeing Braun Strowman doing a splash. Like you don't see people that size do moves like that.
We have to get moving. Because we have
speaking of big guys,
we have Samoa Joe. I want to talk about Samoa Joe because if you guys saw, you know, fucking Tuesday night, he went out there and decimated freaking Hardy.
Yeah.
He got himself in the fucking Survivor Series. As much as I hate the Survivor Series, man, it looks like fucking, man, you can't go wrong with Samoa Joe on your side. You know.
Except, where does he go
from here after Survivor Series?
Does he come back to AJ Styles, or will AJ Styles not be champion by then? He might turn on Daniel, though, so he might cost SmackDown the match.
Batman, Samoa Joe.
I was forgetting to unmute myself. I agree with Christian that I think he's probably. I don't know if this is what he said, but. Shit, now I forgot what the hell I said. I had a brain fart here. Wonderful. I think I can see him turning on everybody, like costing the match, like how Triple H did, right? That's what he did last year with Kurt Angle.
Speaking about Kurt Angle, I gotta address something. Apparently they forgot about last year's Survivor Series match because they said that because Angle won the team for them. No, he didn't.
He said no. I'm saying he didn't win. He said I'm the one that held it down because he was the one that held down the whole team until.
No, it wasn't Kurt who said that. It was Michael. Kurt said what he said, but Michael Cole kept saying all night that he was the winner.
Kurt,
Yeah, he led Team Raw to victory. No, he fucking didn't.
Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, because he was there. It was going to be a victory, right? But then Triple H, that's what Samoa Joe's going to do.
No, Triple H helped cost Team Raw to win. It was Triple H to trade Kurt, and then, you know.
Won
it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. All right.
Sorry, guys.
Not funny, man. Not funny.
Yeah, I'm laughing because, Samoa Joe.
Well, Samoa Joe.
Ah, shit, we got 5 minutes left. Yeah, guys, go ahead.
Okay, so what the problem with Samoa Joe is that we all know he's never going to win the WWE Championship unless he's feuding with Daniel Bryan. So I think the best-case scenario is for him to go after the tag title and partner with somebody else. Maybe even since they have him and since they be a
damn, I don't like that.
Wow.
I don't like that. I just don't like it. I think Samoa Joe is a standout athlete, man. And you're right. I mean, I don't know if you're right. I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't think he'll ever be champion. I think he's one of those guys that will never be champion, and I disagree with it. And I hope it happens.
Samoa Joe's in the spot like where he is at Chris Jericho. He's putting people over. That's his spot.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think so. But is that going to be to get off of Samoa Joe now? Is that going to be Rey Mysterio's spot too? We all saw what happened on SmackDown.
Well, Rey Mysterio is not injured. He just got an RKO, so he's going to be fine.
Yeah, man. He beat Cien Almas. What about
So I guess Rey Mysterio buried everybody. Rey Mysterio buried Shinsuke. He buried Randy Orton, and then he buried Andrade Cien Almas now. By the way, I think Andrade Cien Almas is a fucking loser now. I don't remember him winning a single match on SmackDown yet. Have you?
I haven't. No, it's been a while, I guess, since he's been around. I know that his chick is injured right now. Well, not his
girl. I have not seen Andrade
Cien Almas
win a SmackDown match at all since he
debuted. No, I've seen him win. He's won. Come on. He hasn't won? Are you telling me he has not won?
Yeah, he's won a lot of them. Yeah, he's won a good majority of them.
What is who? Who he beat?
I mean, nobody
memorable. Wait a minute.
he has won, Cien Almas.
Let's see. Yeah, you're right. He was beating nobodies. Didn't they have him wrestling against nobodies, and he was just drilling through, and then he started beating
that old guy? We just don't remember.
The
short guy with the mask, Sin Cara?
The only person he beat was Sin Cara. That's it. He has not defeated AJ Styles. He hasn't defeated Rusev.
You concern me, man.
Only other pre-show.
Okay, you're right.
Only on the pre-show on fucking SummerSlam did he beat Rusev, but that's about it. From then on, he kept losing. He tapped out, he got pinned. And now Rey Mysterio, who's supposed to be putting over young talent, is burying talent.
And with that, we will close out tonight's show, guys. So say your goodbyes, and we will see you guys Saturday. Right here on the World Generation Podcast Network at 6 p.m. Take it away, guys.
All right. You go first, Batman.
Stone Cold Steve Austin here, saying to listen to the Radio Renegades on Saturday in the main streets of Los Angeles. And if you want Stone Cold to open up a can of whoop-ass, give me a hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Double L, this is a special message from me to you. At IWC Rising, not only will I take away your Legends Championship once and for all and be a possibly first-time double champion in IWC history, but I will also kill the legend of Loverboy Langlois because, as of right now, I'm the new legend killer. See you there, boy.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a message from the world. And by the way, at IWC Rising, there will be Batman versus Joe Bates versus somebody else, Christian. Who was it? Versus Best Friends NXT for the right to face somebody, for the right to face the World Heavyweight Champion, actually. So, yeah, it's going to be a triple threat match coming up at IWC Rising. Stay tuned for more information on that. In the meantime, for Christian from Philly and for Batman, that's right, Batman, because we have Batman on our show, I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. We'll see you again next time, right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.